Our evening speaker this evening is Brother Adam Sistrunk. The title of his talk is How to Obtain a Place in His Kingdom. We have scriptural reading from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. So if you open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, we'll read the first 9 verses. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yahweh, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor Yahweh with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so with that, our reading will now give our attention to Brother Adam.
Good evening, everyone. Boy, it seems like it's been a year since I've been up here. It's good to be back. It's good to be with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, to be able to take time out and study a portion of His Word, and to be able to take fellowship, and it's just good to be back up here. So my title for this exhortation is a question. How do we obtain a place in His kingdom? When we read a question like this, what are some of the things that come to our minds? What are some of the things that we must do? We must know and understand the truth. We must be baptized. Then we have to follow Yahweh's commandments. Separate ourselves from the world and worldly desires. Then continually study. These are just a few things that come to mind when we think about obtaining a place in Yahweh's glorious kingdom that will be established here on this earth with His Son reigning as the King, with those who are found worthy to be granted an entrance into it. I know that all of us gathered here are wanting to take part in Yahweh's kingdom. This is why we are gathered here together. This is the place that we can come to fellowship with brethren of like precious faith. This is the place that we can go to separate ourselves from the world, a time where we can study Yahweh's Word and be exhorted. We can spend some of our time focusing on Him. There seems like times when we're at home or we're not on Sunday meeting or Wednesday night Bible class that sometimes we lose sight of spending enough time focusing on Yahweh. We all fall short and we all stumble along the way. We all at times fail. But the blessing that we have as brothers and sisters is that we can pray and ask forgiveness. And if we sincerely mean it, He will forgive us our trespasses. Nobody in here is perfect. Each one of us has been overtaken by sin at some point in time. We all have had to wrestle with sin, and we all are still warring with it now. Sin is just a natural thing within our human nature. Mankind in general is full of pride, deceit, hatred, and pure evil. This is an element of life that we all must overcome in order to obtain a righteous reward in His kingdom. If we look in each other's daily lives, we all see four of these things each day. We see all four of them each day. We see how society today is pushing the undecided or transgender sexuality. We see each day just driving down the highway, many billboards for lawyers advertising pursuing someone or offering the cheapest divorce. The world in general is going deeper and deeper into the evil and hatred that it can come up with each day. Why would we want to be partakers in anything that has dealings with this kind of society? Why would we want to be with anybody that wants to participate with anyone of this nature? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting with verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil, for unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them that which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' tales and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. We as brethren have a job to do. It is our duty to make sure that we do it right. We did not decide to be baptized and become an heir with Christ because it would save us and that we didn't have to do anything else. That is a false idea that modern day Christendom is pushing. After baptism, our work has only just begun. We have the rest of our life to work towards obtaining an entrance into his kingdom. Baptism is just the start. Now we must push towards the mark of our high calling. We have a lot of work to do on ourselves and within our own ecclesias. What all persecutions did Paul have to face? How many trials and tribulations did he have to overcome? His biggest trial was on the road to Damascus when he was blinded for 3 days because of his wicked ways and the torment that he had caused to come about to Yahweh's people. Saul was a bad man while he was an alien to the commonwealth of Israel. Sometimes our own wants and desires get in the way of our walk as an heir with Abraham and a co-heir with Christ. We at times can be our own worst enemy. We get blinded by our own lust and our own desires and forget to stay focused on Yahweh and His plan. A person has only scratched the surface at baptism. Our journey has just started, and it is a journey that will take us in many places as we war with sin every day. Sin is all around us. Sin is in us. It doesn't take long for sin to overtake someone because sin is so easily to commit or justify why committing it. I'm sure we could go right up the road from the Bible school grounds and find sin. We can find sin right in here. It's within us. We don't have to go looking for trouble. Trouble will find us if we aren't careful. We can become enticed with sin from within side or outside, and sometimes we give into it. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay part all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We have to be doers of the word, and not hearers only. We have to put off good works. We can become enticed with sin. It can easily overtake us. It's hard to get ourselves out of our own way and cast these stumbling blocks that we trip over, and they slow us down for a bit. But we have a way that we can overcome those things through prayer. We all know what our weakness is and what our strength is, and we should work each day to make our weakness our strength as well. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Starting at verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 7. We're going to skip around a little bit in this chapter. Starting at verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I was supposed to read that one. I thought I was quitting at 6. Let's skip over to verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then skip over to verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to, obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must build up our weaknesses, and we must fortify those areas. We have to if we're going to overcome sin, because we cannot be overtaken by it. We cannot let that happen. We cannot let our guard down. Let's look at Titus chapter 1. Verse 9 and 10 of the first chapter. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Skip over to chapter 2, starting at verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. The aged woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Pretty good remembering those last two verses there that we read, 13 and 14. Zealous of good works. Cannot just be hearers of the word. We got to be doers also. We have to put off good works. That's what we have to do. Let's all try and put ourselves in Noah's life during the time leading up to the flood, as Brother David talked about this morning. How would we feel with people coming up to us questioning what we were doing and then laughing at us when we told them that what we were building and why we were building it, what we were preparing for, and what was going to happen? An utter destruction like it never seen before. And that rain was coming, and it was going to come out of the heavens and out of the ground. So much that we had to build a vessel big enough to house enough animals for Yahweh, and big enough for the animals and for Yahweh's people to survive. 8 souls. That was it. 8 souls. Utter destruction. Mass chaos. People probably laughed. Probably mocked Noah. Thought he was crazy. Don't we get the same kind of treatment when we tell people what the truth is and what Yahweh's plan is for this earth? That people will be here worshiping and serving Yahweh in His kingdom here on this very earth. Don't we get looks from people? They think we're crazy. I had someone ask me where I got my information from. I told them the Bible, and that I would be more than happy to sit and go over it with them if they wanted me to as well. Do you think I ever got the opportunity to talk to them? No. I even wrote some notes for a lady about the devil and Lucifer and how Isaiah 14 was talking about King Nebuchadnezzar's fall from rulership and how he was made like a beast and had to eat grass. We all at times get funny looks and talked about like Noah did. There are things that we each must overcome in this life and in this world if we are to be granted an heir in His kingdom. What about Moses? He became the son of a Pharaoh and could have had anything he wanted, could go and do whatever he chose to do. But what did he decide to do? He decided to follow after Yahweh and help lead His people towards Yahweh, no matter what the circumstances were. We each have different obstacles to get over. That's why we come here. That's why we gather here, so that we can help each other reach the mark and not fall short of the glory of God, to not be so easily overcome with sin. What did Christ have to overcome? Look at His own people, how they treated Him. We know that Christ gave a good confession of His faith to Pilate in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. What must we do to obtain a place in Yahweh's kingdom? How must we act? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Skip over to verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Start at verse 3. According as his divine power hath he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that he called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must stay away from evil. We must overcome sin. We must come out of the world. We cannot be partakers of it. We cannot participate in both. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5. Excuse me, not 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 2. I missed a number in my typing. 1 John chapter 2, start at verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which he had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Skip over to verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There is a way for us unto righteousness. And we all know what has to be done for us to be found worthy of that high calling. It is up to us to decide whom we shall serve. Shall we serve ourselves and sin, or will we follow after Christ? Let's look at Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24, he asked, who will you serve? Will you serve will you serve the idols that your father served on the other side of the flood? Or are you going to choose to serve God as Noah and the other seven did in the boat and when they came off the ark? We have to decide, who are we going to serve? Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Start at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he that hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 32. Start at verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. In Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Skip over to verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicators or profane persons, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not coming to the mountain that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure, and that was commanded, if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly feared and quaked. But ye are coming to a mount Zion, in the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and ecclesia, the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, seeing that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So I ask, brothers and sisters, how do we obtain a place in His kingdom? What must we do? We have to continue to climb. We have to continue to battle within ourselves. We have to continue to overcome sin. If we want to be granted a place in His kingdom, if we want to have a seat in His kingdom, we must overcome sin within ourselves, within the world, and we have to have no part outside. So I ask and I task everybody to ask yourself a question. What must we do to be granted a place in this kingdom? Thank you.